So today, reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 10, text 155 through to 166. So I'll read the translations as we go along. This is 155. Seeing Brahmananda Bharati wearing the deer skin, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pretended not to see him. Instead, he asked Mukunda Dutta, "Where is Brahmananda Bharati, my spiritual master?" The Lord likes to joke around. Next verse. Mukunda Dutta replied, "Here is Brahmananda Bharati in your presence." The Lord replied, "You're incorrect. This is not Brahmananda Bharati." Doing well. You're catching up with me. It's good. "You must be talking of someone else, for this is surely not Brahmananda Bharati. You simply have no knowledge. Why should Brahmananda Bharati wear a deer skin?" When Brahmananda Bharati heard this, he thought, "My deer skin is not approved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Thus admitting his mistake, Brahmananda Bharati thought, "He spoke well. I put on this deer skin only for prestige. I cannot cross over the ocean of nescience simply by wearing a deer skin. From today on, I shall not wear this deerskin." As soon as Brahmananda Bharati decided this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding his mind, immediately sent for the robes of a sannyasi. As soon as Brahmananda Bharati gave up his deerskin and covered himself with sannyasi robes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and offered his respects at his lotus feet. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Brahmananda Bharati said, "You instruct the general populace by your behavior. I will not do anything against your wishes. Otherwise, you will not offer me respects, but will neglect me. I am afraid of this." At the present moment, I see two Brahmans. One Brahman is Lord Jagannath, who does not move, and the other Brahman, who is moving, is you. Lord Jagannath is the Archavigraha, the worshipable deity, and it is he who is the non-moving Brahman. But you are Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you are moving here and there. The two of you are the same Brahman, master of the material nature. But you are playing two parts, one moving and one not moving. In this way, two Brahmans are now residing at Jagannath Puri, Purushottam. Of the two Brahmans, you are fair-complexioned, and the other, Lord Jagannath, is blackish. Both of you are delivering the whole world. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Actually, to tell you the truth, due to your presence, there are now two Brahmans at Jagannath Puri." And then we get to verse 166, which has a purport. Both Brahmananda and Gaura Hari are moving, whereas the blackish Lord Jagannath is sitting tight and immobile. Purport by Swamigri Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Brahmananda Bharati wanted to prove that there is no difference between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that he and Brahmananda Bharati were jivas, and that although the jivas are Brahman, they are many, but the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Brahman, is one. On the other hand, Brahmananda Bharati also wanted to prove that Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that to fulfill his mission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to be moving, whereas Lord Jagannath appeared to be inert. Thus, this jolly argument was going on. Finally, Brahmananda Bharati referred the whole matter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for a final decision. Brahmananda Namatumi Gaura Brahmachala Shamavarna Jagannatha Vasyachena Achala. Both Brahmananda and Gaura Hari are moving, whereas the blackish Lord Jagannath is sitting tight and immobile. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhali Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Bani Pracharani Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschachadesa Tarahi Bandi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadai Pushpavanto Chitrasando Tamonudo Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupas Rupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shrivasari gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. So I give my gratitude to the organizers for giving me the opportunity to speak. Please, I request you to give me blessings that I may say something relevant, something that's bona fide. There's some wonderful senior devotees in the audience who I feel encouraged to be in front of and also a little bit embarrassed. Sri Radharam Mahaprabhu is a great pundit here. Even his young children, they're only teenagers, they already know so much more of the Vedas than I do. I feel like I didn't have the Sukriti. He's stopping me. Okay, I won't glorify him. Who is the associate of Mahaprabhu who said, you're lucky you've received the praise of chastisement and I've received the poison of being glorified? Who was that? Remember? Who? Advaita Acharya. Okay, Sanatan Goswami. We have to research. Anyway, it's interesting. It's nice to be chastised. So listen, Prabhupada, often when he glorified one of his disciples, he didn't do it when the disciple was there. He would refer to something about a disciple, and the disciple would hear indirectly. It's kind of nice. Nice thing to know. One time, Jayapataka Maharaj, he would often ask questions in classes. And he once, at the end of one class, he asked Prabhupada something about Radharani. And Prabhupada smashed him. He said, why are you asking about Radharani, this high elevated topic? What platform are you on like this? And he chastised him. A few days later, Prabhupada was giving class again. Jayapataka Maharaj wasn't there. And at the end of the class, any questions? And he goes, where is that Jayapataka Maharaj? He's very good. He likes to ask questions. So Jayapataka Maharaj, he was kind of beaten down one day, but then when he heard indirectly, he felt really happy that Prabhupada was kind of endorsing his enthusiasm, which is known as Pariprashna, right? Tadvidi prani patina, pariprashina sevaya, upadek shantitigina, gininas tatva darshanaha. Once we take a spiritual master, we must inquire pariprashna from all different angles of vision, try and get the truth, because understanding the truth is the path to ultimately attaining Krishna prema. And this pastime has got several aspects. There's an aspect about dress, and there's an aspect about philosophy. And the two are there. And Mahaprabhu, he's teaching something about how we should dress. And he's actually not teaching about philosophy, because there's one part of philosophy that Mahaprabhu can't really teach. That is that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's not his mood to do that. Apani karimu bhakti bhava angikari, apani achari bhakti shikaimu sabari. He comes in the mood of a devotee to teach people how to worship Krishna. So it's said that when persons would say that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what did Mahaprabhu do? What did he do? Cover his ears. Yes. Did he say Vishnu? Vishnu, Vishnu. Cover his ears. He didn't want to hear it because that wasn't his mood. But he still manages to teach through others, and he's actually teaching through Brahmananda Bharati. So there's a play of words here. Brahmananda means Brahma. Because Brahmananda Bharati is saying, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's understood, just from this interaction, Brahmananda Bharati could understand Mahaprabhu as the Super Soul. He knew his mind so well, he got the realization. Because just when he was thinking, you know, I had this pride, and he spotted that pride. And as soon as he gave up that, immediately Mahaprabhu said, put on sannyas robes. The timing was perfect. Sometimes you meet someone and they they know you so well, and you think, this is uncanny. Yesterday, Tarun Krishna said he met someone on the street, and the person said, he said, you know, you can even know people's minds, Tarun Krishna said, and this man said, do you know my mind? He said, no. And he goes, guess my name. And Tarun Krishna just out of the blue just said, Alfred. And the man was like astonished. And he said, that's my actual name. And he purchased the book. So we're not super soul. But if we just serve Krishna, then sometimes he does it for us, you see. So it's interesting that I often wonder, persons, there's different schools of thought within Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Some Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't like to put a peacock feather on Lord Chaitanya. Now, this was actually brought up to Prabhupada on several occasions. One time Malati Prabhu asked. Well, actually, Prabhupada corrected her. He said, why is Lord Chaitanya not wearing a peacock feather? And she asked, should he wear? He said, yes, always. And then she asked, what about Lord Nityananda? Should he wear a peacock feather? What do you think he said? Someone saying no? No? Most people are saying no. He said, sometimes. He can wear sometimes, but Lord Chaitanya should always wear. And I'm wondering, why is it that the Gaurati tune that Prabhupada, or the Gaurati song Prabhupada brought to ISKCON, it is that one leela where Mahaprabhu is actually in the mood of being Krishna, and he's receiving worship. It's the Mahaprakash Leela. So it's interesting that Prabhupada emphasized this point. Now, here's a little thought. I was just reading the beginning of Adi Leela. How would you feel if a pure devotee, someone with prema, were to offer obeisances to you? How would you feel? You might feel a little bit embarrassed, right? A little bit. This is inappropriate. But actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offers his obeisances to all the readers of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So just by reading it, he's offering obeisances to us. How do we feel about that? It's like really embarrassing, isn't it? But that shows the humility of him. And he begins the Adi Leela with 14 verses. And they're known as the Mangala Acharana. Acharana means invocation. Mangala means auspicious. And then he describes, after giving those 14 verses, he describes them. And he explains that the first four verses, they cover three topics. Does anyone know what three topics they cover? First one is Namaskar. Well, yes, Vande Gurun Ishalbhaktang begins with the Guru and the Parampara, right? But it's actually, the word Vande means offering obeisances. And the next one is Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahau Ditao Gaudadai Pushpavantau Chitrasandau Tamau Nadau. That's how the two brothers, they come and they're like the sun and the moon arising on the eastern horizon. So these two verses are known as Namaskar. We begin by offering our obeisances. So that's good. We've offered obeisances before Krishnadas Kaviraj offers his obeisances. It comes later. So if we offer obeisances first, then we're covered. The next topic is Vastu Nirdesh, which means defining the object. And this is where Lord Chaitanya is established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now in this pastime, Lord Chaitanya is saying, he's basically telling Brahmananda, I'm not Brahman, but you're correct, there are two Brahmans because you're Brahmananda. So you're the Brahman and Lord Jagannath is Brahman, but I'm not Brahman, I'm a Jiva, because that's the mood of a devotee. Devotee never thinks that he or she is Brahman. But this is nicely brought out in the third verse. Yad advaitam brahmopanishadi tadapyasya tanuba yad atmantar yami purusha iti so shanksha vibhava sadaishvaya purno ya iha bhagavan sasvayamayam na chaitanyad krishnaj jagati paratatvam param iha. So here, beautiful verse describing the absolute truth in three phases. The first phrase, brahma which is the bodily effulgence of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna. The last line is, Na Chaitanyad Krishnaj Jagati Paratattvam Paramiha. There is no higher truth than Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna. So Kaviraj Goswami establishes Lord Chaitanya as Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna's two Bhagavans, Swayam, the Bhagavatam states. This principle is stated at the beginning, and with the additional feature that Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are non-different. Then the three phases, Brahma, which is described as Advaita. Advaita Brahma is the bodily effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His expansion is the Purusha, or the Atmantaryami. Atma, Antaryami. Antaryami means the indweller. The Lord is within all our hearts. Lord Chaitanya is within our heart. And Sadaishvarya Purno Yaiha Bhagavan Swayam Saswayam Ayam. Meaning that Lord Chaitanya is none other than Swayam Bhagavan. And he's full in all six opulences. So this is how the tattva of Chaitanya Charitamrita is nicely established. And once that's done, Lord Chaitanya can be in the mood of devotee and we won't be bewildered because we already know who he is. Another example, several Mondays ago, Prabhupada was giving class. Prabhupada gives class every Monday, just in case you don't know. You come here, we switch on, give the mic to Prabhupada. Prabhupada's actually present and we play the recording. So he was saying there was a little joke going on between Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. Because Sanatana Goswami asks, how do you recognize an avatar? Of course, this is really funny because Sanatana Goswami knows Lord Chaitanya is an avatar. But Lord Chaitanya explains, you know, avatar is established in scripture. Where in scripture is it said that Lord Chaitanya is an avatar? There's lots of verses. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, that's the 11th canto. Any other ones? Mahabharat, yes. Hemanga, how does it begin? Suvarna Varna Hemango, Varangas Chandanagati, Sanyasa Krich Chamo Shanta, Nishta Shanti Parayana. Wonderful. Actually, this is coming up in this chapter shortly. This is from the Vishnu Sahasranam, right? There's this little verse, beautiful collection of eight names of Lord Chaitanya. Four of them before he took sannyas, four of them after. So Suvarna Varna, he has a golden complexion. Hemanga means the same thing, right, roughly? Golden Hemanga. Varangas, beautiful body. Chandanangati, he's smeared with sandalwood. Sanyasa Krich, took sannyas. Shama, he's blissed out, he's equipoised. Shanta, peaceful. Not perfect translation here. Nishta Shanti Parayana, he's the abode of pure love for Krishna. Nishta Shanti Parayana. So these are some examples, and this is a long time ago, 5,000 years ago, the Mahabharata. Therefore, Mahaprabhu, he's already mentioned. Where is Prahlad Maharaj say? Chana Kalau Yadabhavas Triyuga Tasatvam. He's known as Triyuga. The Lord is known as Triyuga. Why Triyuga? Because he's covered Chana. He's a Chana avatar. He's covered in the Kali Yuga. So he's not coming and saying he is God. And Prabhupada explains why. Because Mayavad is so rife that if he said he's God, then everyone would want to imitate him and be God too. So he comes as the devotee. So this is all nicely established. Now, here's a question. What is the connection between wearing a deer skin or living simply, dressing simply, and knowing the philosophy, correct philosophy? You see, there's two points I was mentioning. There's the dress. Sannyasi should wear simple dress, right? It seems to be very kind of material thing. It's about practice. It's nothing to do with philosophy. Then on the other hand, there is this little lesson that Brahmananda Bharati is giving, that Lord Chaitanya is identical with Krishna and we are servants of Lord Chaitanya, or servants of Krishna. So one's a philosophical thing, one's a philosophical deviation, and the other one is to do with the bodily platform. So what's the connection? Well, I'll give you one potential connection. If you go to the third canto, there's a description. Maitreya Muni describes five features of avidya. And if you go through those features, three of them are philosophical, and two of them are to do with false identification with the body and with material enjoyment. So one of them is called moha. Moha means to identify with the body and to identify with one's possessions, to think I am the owner of various things. For example, we have a house, we have a car, we have all these things. To think that's mine, that's called moha, illusion. Ishavashyamidam sarvam, everything belongs to Krishna. And also, to think that, or to not know that one is a jiva and an eternal servant of Krishna, that's known as tamas. So tamas is another aspect of avidya, to not know one's real identity as eternal servant of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, he famously taught that we are eternal servants of Krishna. Anyone know the sloka? Famous one? Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nichidas Krishnera Tatashta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. So there. So Beda Beda means one and different. It's interesting, there's a purport in the Bhagavatam where it says, Yo Haresh Chaiva Jivanam Beda Vakta Hare Priya. If one preaches that the Jiva and the Supreme are different, then that person is very dear to the Lord. So although Beda is true and Abeda is true, if you preach Beda, you're very dear to the Lord. Now, about several months ago, someone asked the question, why did Mahaprabhu take initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya? Because he could have taken initiation in so many other. There's four Sampradayas. Why the Madhva? And not at the time, no one actually answered it. But then someone sent me a quote. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he explains that Mahaprabhu chose the Madhva Sampradaya because Madhva completely defeated Mayavad. So he wanted to be part of that particular Sampradaya. See, Mahaprabhu took two aspects from each Sampradaya, but defeat of Mayavad was something that was so important that he decided he wanted to be part of the Madhva Sampradaya. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So if we go back to avidya, so thinking oneself to be the body is one type of avidya, and not knowing oneself to be a servant of Krishna is another type of avidya, tamas. You see, there's also tamishra. Tamishra is to think one is equal to the Lord. Now this is like the Mayavad conception, or the, I mentioned when I was giving class a few weeks ago, when the Mayavad sannyasis greeted each other, what did they say? Namo Narayanaya, because they're thinking each other to be Narayan. And when they said that to Mahaprabhu, his reply was, Krishne Matir Astu, may you be Krishna conscious. May you always think of Krishna. So this concept that we are equal with the Supreme, this is known as Tamishra. Another type of ignorance is called Andha Tamishra. That means to think at the time of death, my existence is completely over. In other words, no life after death. Andha Tamishra. Nowadays, many people think this. Some people are very proud of this philosophy. They think that people who believe in life after death are sentimental. It's an emotional prop. But they are brave and they face reality and they know that this is the only life and after this, it's all over. So they think that they are realist and they are courageous to look at reality. They think religion is just some prop. But actually what they don't know is religion is a great science. The Mayavad sannyasis, they thought Mahaprabhu was a sentimentalist. Bhavuka karma, it's an interesting term. Bhavuka karma means you're performing the activities of a sentimentalist. But actually bhavuka also means someone who's very advanced in relishing bhav. Yeah? Nigama kalpa taro galitam palam mukha. Sukhamukad amrita drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam bahuraho bhuvi sushi radhago klananda kijai bahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. The beginning of the Bhagavatam is it's a request from the author that we should read and drink the nectar of Bhagavatam again and again because it's relished by bahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha, the rasikas and the bhavukas, those who are expert at tasty mellows. And this is, if we want to know why we have struggle, you may struggle, I struggle. Sometimes I'm more attracted to watching some YouTube video than I am to reading Prabhupada's books, because I'm not bhavuka, I'm not rasika. But we have to come to that platform. Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrami yach trinvatam rasa gyanam svadu svadu pade pade. Every step it's relish to those who are rasagya. So I've introduced some phrases. Some of you would be familiar with those phrases. Rasagya, one who understands rasa. Bhavukaha, rasika, all pretty much the same thing. So we were going through avidya. We did four. Who can remember the first four? Do a little recap. Moha, and what does it mean? Yeah, what type of illusion in particular? Yes, moha means identifying with the body. That's one of the four. Tamas, meaning? Ignorance of what? Yes, ignorance that one is actually a servant of Krishna. There's two more I gave. Tamishra, which is what? Okay, so tamas means not knowing your real identity. Tamishra means thinking something that your identity to be something that is not the case, to give you a hint. Like moha. It means to think oneself one with the Supreme. Now, the fourth one I gave was anda tamishra, meaning? Yes, consider death to be the end. And the final one is known as maha moha. It's interesting, it's translated as... Actually, when Prabhupada translates it, he doesn't actually translate each word like I've done. He just leaves it as it is. So he leaves moha as moha. Maha tamas is what's mentioned in the verse. But then in the purport, Prabhupada explains the meaning of all five, and he calls in maha tamas maha moha. And that means to be mad after material enjoyment. In other words, to be a sense gratifier. So we all have experienced that, I think, to some extent. So if we're proud at all, we should understand that we're actually in avidya if we have sense gratification, or we desire sense gratification. So to be a sannyasi, one has to go beyond avidya. So one has to, part of avidya means giving up material possessions. So Mahaprabhu is telling Brahmananda Bharati, just by looking, he's telling him, he's not saying it, but just by looking, he's saying, you're attached to your deer skin, please give that up, right? So here's a question. There's a similar pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about another great devotee that came before Mahaprabhu, and his dress was inappropriate because it had some element of opulence about it. Who knows who I'm referring to? Sanatana Goswami. And what was he carrying? A blanket, yes, a woolen blanket. So this is an interesting pastime. When he escaped from his service to the Mohammedans, right? He's still looking like a Muslim mendicant. So Mahaprabhu was in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, and because he's the all-knowing Lord, he understood that Sanatana Goswami was outside. So he told Chandrasekhar, there's a devotee outside, please invite him in. Chandrasekhar opens the door and he sees this Muslim mendicant. And he goes back, there's not a devotee, there's a Muslim mendicant. Mahaprabhu says, invite him in. He invites him in. And then what happens? Mahaprabhu embraces Sanatana Goswami and they both shed tears of ecstasy. And Chandrasekhar is absolutely astonished to see this. It's a lovely lesson. Don't judge by externals, right? Mahaprabhu, he tells Chandrasekhar, take away his dress. He doesn't want him. He wants him to wear Vaishnav dress. So Sanatana Goswami, he gets himself ready. Chandrasekhar offers fresh cloth. Sanatana Goswami declines, which is very nice, because he doesn't want to wear fresh dress. He doesn't want to be opulent. And when Mahaprabhu saw that, he's like, oh, he's very happy. He's very happy that Sanatana Goswami wasn't attached to having nice dress. He takes Sanatana Goswami for lunch at Tapana Mishra's house. Tapana Mishra offers him fresh cloth again. And Sanatana Goswami rejects again. And he says, but if you have any used cloth, any old cloth, I'm happy to take. So he gives him some old cloth, and Sanatana Goswami rips it in two, He has his kopins and his top cloth. And this is proper of a sannyasi. Yeah? It's said by Kavi Karanapur, this Kinshanasya Bhagavan Bhajanon Mukasya Param Param Jigamasho Bhavasagarasya Sandarshinam Vishayanam Matayoshitangsha Hahantahanta Vishabakshanatu Pyasadu. If one is serious about crossing over the ocean of material existence, one has to become Niskinchana. What does Niskinchana mean? Without material desires. Any other answers? Yes. I'm looking for a more literal meaning. Nish means without, and kinchana something, right? Is it something? What is this? What is kinchana? Something? Okay. Niskinchana means, or another phrase is akinchana. Queen Kunti, Jain Maishvarya Shrita Shribir, Eda Mana Madapuman, Naiva Hartja Vidatumvai, Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. If you want to attain Krishna, you have to give up your intoxication or your intoxicating attachment for good birth, Janma, Aishvarya, opulence, Shruta, learning, Shri, beauty. If you have any of these things, very difficult to give heartfelt prayer to the Lord for protection. So, Akinchana Gochara means someone who within themselves they have nothing. Let's go back to the verse. Niskinchanasya means one who has nothing. So for such a person, if they see a woman or a sense enjoyer, was it Sandarshanam Vishayinam Atayoshitangscha? They see a woman or they see a Vishayi sense enjoyer, which often means a woman hunter, then that's equivalent to drinking poison for them. They're like, ugh, because it spoils their attempt to connect to Krishna, to be a yogi. Na hya sanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati bharata. Bhagavad Gita says, you cannot become a yogi, and Krishna means a bhakti yogi, unless you renounce your desire for sense gratification. Therefore, Brahmana Bharati, if he's wearing a deer skin, that's that little thing, you know, that little thing, it can be the difference between connecting to Krishna and not. You know, sometimes if someone has cancer, sometimes they have an operation, remove the cancer, but sometimes they're also given chemotherapy just in case there's a little bit left. So it's the same with material desire. If you're going to get rid of material desire, you have to go the full way. So one may think, well, what's the big deal, deer skin? But just got to get it right to the root. Every single last bit of attachment must be uprooted. So instant Prabhupada, he says, Vaishnavas are very beautiful. They don't dress beautifully, but they are beautiful. So what's the reason for that? What is the beauty of the Vaishnav? Huh? Yes? Purified, yes. One time Prabhupada was giving initiation to a young American lady, and he said, you're very beautiful, now become beautiful on the inside. That's what he said to her. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's got a lovely realization of that. Naivatmana praburiyam nija labapurno manam janad avidusha karano vrnita yad yach jano bhagavati vidadita manam tachchatmane pratimukasya yatamukashri. Says that the Lord is nija labapurna. He's complete in himself. He needs nothing. Therefore, when we worship him, when we offer things to him, when we engage in deity worship, it is not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. Just like when someone decorates their face, the reflection becomes very beautiful. So in the same way, when the devotees give mana, honor, or dress Krishna nicely, make him look beautiful, it reflects on them and they become beautiful. People, if you watch Prabhupada Memories, recommend you all do. You can go on YouTube, they're all there. So many people talk about how they were just bowled over by Prabhupada's beauty. His character, there was something just wonderful about him, his personality, his qualities, etc. So why does he have that attractive personality? Because he's giving all respect to Krishna. Therefore, it reflects back upon himself. You see? So the devotees, their goal is not to be beautiful. But they become beautiful just by virtue of dressing Krishna nicely. Make Krishna look beautiful. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you waste your days sleeping and decorating your bodies. So Prabhupada says, devotees, we don't decorate our bodies. We wear simple clothes. But devotees are still very beautiful because they decorate Krishna's body. And that's the difference between false ego and real ego. Real ego means, let's make Krishna beautiful. Let's dress him nicely. Make him happy. False ego means, I want to be beautiful myself. I want to be happy myself. Like that. Atma sukha dukhe gopira nahika vichar. Krishna sukha hetu chesta mano vyavahar. The gopis are the perfect example. They have no consideration of their own happiness and distress. It is simply Krishna sukha hetu. Their whole existence is based on what will give Krishna happiness, like that. See? So, that's another example. But going back to Sanatana Goswami, even though he did pass those two tests, still, as someone mentioned, there was still some problem. Mahaprabhu started looking at his woolen blanket. Same thing, he doesn't say anything, he just looks at it. Mahaprabhu, and then Sanatana's thinking, this isn't very pleasing. So what does he do? He goes to the bathing ghat, and he sees a mendicant with a torn cloth, and he says, I will give you this nice woolen blanket in exchange for your torn cloth. And what does the mendicant do? He's like, why are you making fun? You know, why are you making fun out of me? Why are you joking like that with me? And Sanatana Goswami says, no, I'm serious. And he swaps. The mendicant must be wondering, why is this happening? But this is the... But Sanatana Goswami, he's free from such things. So... And also there's a famous, while we're talking about dress, there's a famous verse in Anchalila where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami. So Ananta Achyuta is going to repeat the verse. Go on in. Perfect. Gramya Kata Na Shunibi. Let us not hear gramya kata, which means mundane talk. We don't want to know who's top of the Premier League right now. We don't need to know who the bookmakers are saying who's going to be the next Prime Minister of England. We don't need to know these things. Gramya kata na shunibi. Don't hear it. Gramya varta na kohibi. Do not speak it. Balo na kaibi. Do not eat luxuriously. Balo na poribi. Do not dress nicely. Once again, dressing nicely means you are the enjoyer. We have to get rid of this mentality. Now, when I reflect on these things, let's be honest now. If you look at the history of ISKCON, there are many ways in which the early devotees, the Prabhupada disciples, they actually followed those things to a higher standard. You know what used to be the case in the ashram? Brahmacharya ashram generally was all the devotees were just devotees. They don't belong to anyone. Just like, let's wash them all. There's a group of devotees, and then someone just pick a devotee out and put it on, which is great, you know, no attachment there. There's another thing that I heard which is not advisable. It wasn't a good idea, but they had, wait for this, they had one toothbrush. Oh! And they had this mustard oil, so they were just kind of sharing the same toothbrush. Not recommended. But you know, in some Prabhupada lectures, he says, we are following Navritti Marg. Now, this is wonderful. We really need to get this understood. We have to put this in our heart, Navritti Marg. So, in Prabhupada's time, you know, some of the temples, they were full up. And I'm going to say something, I hope I don't regret it. But nowadays, my feeling is, temples are not very eager to have people stay. It's usually you have to jump through a lot of hoops. But in those days, it was like, come on. Stay, sleep a few nights, shave up. You know, one time, Prabhupada, what does he say? There was one book distributor was discussing. He said, I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes. I think it was Gopa Brindapal, book distributor. He said, when we're on the street distributing books, the public are criticizing us. They're saying, we only ever see you when you're trying to sell us something. So Prabhupada gave an interesting reply. He said, you tell them You can be with us all the time. You can come with us. You can live with us. And after staying with us for a few days, you'll become like us. This is the power of devotee association. So if just bringing people in into the association of devotees, where you sleep, and in those days, people were sleeping on the stairs, people were sleeping on the landing. There wasn't enough room for everyone, you see. So they were sleeping in a very austere way. But that was the mood at the time. And Prabhupada really appreciated this mood. Nowadays, maybe we're not like that. I mean, most people are grihasthas, and maybe they've got a soft bed. I've got a soft bed, I admit it. But even like some of the brahmacharis have got soft beds. It's like, well, if it helps you sleep so you can do devotional service, it's very good. But we should be careful that we don't become attached to these things. Because Prabhupada was saying, we eat simply, we dress simply, we sleep on the floor. You know, the Gosvamis, how did they sleep? They used their arms as pillows. There's a verse in the second canto about this. You know, what is the need for a pillow when you have Ananta? Do you know the verse for that? It's Upanabarhi Kim Kashipo. Kashipo means the bedstead, right? You know the verse? No, okay. Can you find it? Okay, we have a little pundit here. He's going to find the verse. It's in the second canto where it says, what is the need for pillow when you can use your arms? Bahaus Fasidao, is it? Oh, thank you. You're very quick at finding it. Okay, let's see if I can... Can I scroll down as well? Yes. I've just spoiled it, one sec. Say again? I've actually spoiled it. Sorry. It's so the magnification is so high that I scrolled away from it. Bring it back. Thank you. If you got a mic, you could read it. Do you have the portable mic? Make it easier that way. Okay, thank you. Okay, this is 2-2-4. Satyam kshatau kim kashipo prayasayar bahaus vasade yupabarhanai kim satyanjalau kim purudhana patriya digvalkaladau sati kim dukulai. Yeah, it was the arms are svasida, being self-sufficient. Okay, so here's the translation. Where there are ample earthly flats to lie on, what is the necessity of cots and beds? When one can use his own arms, what is the necessity of a pillow? When one can use the palms of his hands, what is the necessity of varieties of utensils? When there is ample covering or the skins of trees, what is the necessity of clothing? Thank you very much. When I joined, there was a really fanatical, in a nice way, brahmachari. His name was Rupa Raghunath. And he was an amazing devotee. He was the top book distributor in Sydney all the time. He was just amazing at it. His nickname was Rupa the Robot. He'd just go out like a robot and he'd just go out and fire away books time and time again, non-stop. And he was perfectly designed for Sankirtan because he was kind of small and light, but he had quite big feet. So he never got sore feet. You notice one of the things about, if you're on Sankirtan, I'm a little heavier than Rupa. My feet are smaller than his. So when I go out in Sankirtan, not that I do very much, one of the things that gets me after a while is like my feet start to hurt. But he was like just designed. So he was just a machine that you could just do these things. And he would take me on traveling Sankirtan and it absolutely killed me. And it killed everyone who went with him because he just wouldn't give you a break. You'd be out in the street, then you'd come back and you just think, now's the time to unwind. And he'd be like, oh, could you cook some hot milk? And so we'd cook some hot milk. And then he'd be like, could you read Krishna book? And so we'd be reading Krishna book. And then finally you'd go to sleep. It was really late. You're really tired. Then he'd wake you up in the morning really early to do japa. And you were out in the street before you knew it. So it was really tough. But he once said to me, he actually meant it. He said, you know, I just can't come to this platform. I need a pillow to sleep. I try sleeping on my arm, but it's really uncomfortable. My arm gets sore. And he was actually thinking to himself, he wanted to get to the platform and he'd just like lie on the ground and just sleep on his arms, you know. And I found it hilarious because I just wasn't even going there at all. I'm thinking, well, my platform is not even remotely close to that. I'm just trying to like follow the regular principles. And if I have a nice pillow, then that's great. I get to sleep and recover. Anyway, so he used to take out all of us. Anyone who was new, he'd have an eye on them. And so I was kind of new. So he'd have an eye on me and think, oh, let's go for 2 weeks traveling Sankirtan. And so then he'd do it to other people as well. And we all kind of would come back and share our stories of how it was like blissful and torture at the same time. So there's some nice... So we're talking here about Nivritti. So the point is, Prabhupada said that ISKCON is Nivritti. It's Nivritti Marg. It's not Pravritti. Pravritti means let's get some balance or sense gratification along with religious principles. But Nivritti means we're going straight for Krishna. And to get Krishna is Dharma, Prajita, Kaitavotra. Give up all cheating religion. And that includes giving up sense gratification. And what is sense gratification? It's one of the types of ignorance. Anyone remember which type it was? I gave a name for it in Sanskrit. No, under Tamishra was thinking death is the end. It wasn't? Avidya. Avidya is the overall bracket for all of them. All of them are types of avidya. It's actually Mahamoha. Mahamoha meaning you've got to have your sense gratification. So it said, Pravrittir e Shabutanam, Nivrittis tu Maha Pala. The Vedas, which scripture is that in, by the way? Manusamhita, is it? Manusamhita. So Manusamhita says, Pravrittir esha bhutanam is the general tendency of people to have comforts, material comforts, but Nivrittis tu maha pala. Nivritti is the real fruit. So if we have the question, why am I not getting a taste? Maybe we should look at this thing, am I still on the platform of Pravritti? Am I following Pravritti Marg? Or am I following Nivritti? So who knows, there's a verse about Nivritti, and it's the fourth verse of the 10th canto. You know the fourth verse of the 10th canto? Please, where's the mic? Give the mic to Adiguru Prabhu.
Nivritita se rupa giyamanat bhava sodach chotra mano viramat ka utama shloke gunanavadat Puman Virajeta Yopu
Bina Pashugnat. Thank you very much. You want to give a rough translation?
Oh, the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is received in the parampara system from guru to disciple. This glorification is the correct medicine, the osadi, for relieving us from the cycle of birth and death. Only those who are killers of themselves or killers of
soul, yeah.
Butchers, yeah. Killers of the soul, will refuse to take this medicine.
Thank you. And it's enjoyed by those who are Nivritta Tarsha. Means they've given up the thirst, Trishna. They've given up the thirst for material life. So we want to know how do they enjoy, how do they get pleasure in reading the scriptures? It's because they've done the hard work. They're prepared to give up the sense gratification. And even psychologically, it's like the army. How do you make a soldier strong? You push them. It's the same with spiritual life. If you want to become strong, we have to push ourselves. Otherwise, we just moan and whinge about things aren't right. But what about pushing ourselves, correcting our own sense gratificatory desires? And it's austere, but from that austerity, you actually go deeper into the scripture. Because if you're too busy trying to enjoy material life, then you're not going to want to read the scripture. So it's a good way to, like a cold shower in the morning kind of thing, you know. It sets us up nicely. And we've all probably had the experience when we wake up in the morning, if we listen to our mind, we just sleep in a bit more. And then after 2 hours, after snoozing a bit, we get up and we feel bad for the rest of the day. Other times, we jump out of bed, have the cold shower, endure it, and then we come, chant our rounds, and then we start to feel very blissful because we've kind of separated ourselves from our bodies. And Prabhupada actually says, you know, how do you come off the bodily platform? Chanting of Hare Krishna. It's the mystical sound vibration will actually take you off the bodily platform. So that is, you know, this is, we can't emphasize enough, this Nivritti Marg. Also in the 7th canto, it says, Avartate Pravrittina Nivrittin Ashnutamritam. If we follow Pravritti, we get Avartate, which means the cycle of samsara, just for simply repeated birth and death. Whereas If we follow Nivritti, we get Amrita. What does Amrita mean? Nectar. Most people said nectar, and someone said immortality. This is lovely because we get both. We get the nectar, and it's nectar and it's eternal. So yeah, just like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says it means the charita means the nature of Chaitanya, the life force in Amrita, immortality. So how do the pure devotees interact? An sangha of pure devotees is, if you watch that, if you study that, what you're seeing is the nature of the life force in immortality. Because devotees are deathless, they're beyond birth and death, and how their jivas, they interact with Krishna at the center, that is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's how Prabhupada translates Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now you could translate it as the nectarian, Amrita, charita, characteristics or pastimes of Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya. But it's Prabhupada gave this in the introduction, different one. So that's interesting. I'll finish in a minute, but before I do, today is the disappearance of Sri Govinda Ghosh. So Govinda Ghosh is one of the dear associates of the Lord. He's a kirtanier. It's said that during Rath Yatra, we know during Rath Yatra the kirtan, the devotees were divided into kirtan parties, and they'd have singers and dancers, and they'd have madanga players, karta players. It was all very organized. A lot of people criticize Saturday Night Harinam for being disorganized. It's very organized disorganization in a sense, because it's kind of the same every time. We kind of know what we're doing, but it's very disorganized. So it's very difficult to change, even if we tried. But anyway, some people would like us to. One of the main thing is the instruments should be softer. It's hard to actually implement, but the instruments should not drown out the Maha Mantra. When I go on Saturday Night Harinam, I wear earplugs. And it's a joke. It's like we're going out to hear, and then we put on earplugs. I said, well, what's that all about? It's because the decibels are too high. Anyway, but the way that the Rath Yatra was organized, there was, how many karta players were there? Was it eight? Seven, is it? They had so many dancers, so many karta players, so many madangas. And it was like the instruments would play softly when the lead singer was singing, and then the instruments would be played more loudly when everyone was responding. There was this various descriptions of how it was done. So in one of those parties, Sri Govinda Ghosh, he was the main singer. So, and he had the good fortune that there was a wonderful devotee, wonderful dancer was in his party. So of all the devotees of the Lord, there are two in particular which I can think of who are famed for their dancing. Who are they? Anyone? Vakreshwara Pandit, correct. And who else is famous for dancing? Advaitacharya, okay. I was thinking of Lord Nityananda, actually. So, Vakreshwara Pandit, he was in the same party. So you had this wonderful singer, Sri Govinda Ghosh. Actually, he had two brothers, Vasudev Ghosh, and who's the third one? Makunda. Madhava Ghosh, yes, Madhava Ghosh. They were all kirtaniers, wonderful. And partly, Bhaktisthanda Saraswati said they were direct expansions of the body of Radharani. So they're doing the kirtan. Sri Govinda Ghosh, his kirtan was so wonderful that whenever Mahaprabhu would hear it, he would spontaneously dance. Lord Nityananda was also dancing. And it's said that Sri Govinda Ghosh, he was present in the kirtan of Srivas, you know, the famous kirtan leelas on Srivasangam. And also, he was present at Raghava Pandit's house. So when I read that, I just actually read it this morning because I was in preparation for the class. It reminded me of a verse that I actually quoted several months ago that were describing the avirbhav, or the manifestations of the Lord. So there's four instances where the Lord would always manifest. Sachira mandiri are Nityananda Nartani, Srivas Kirtani are Raghava Bhavani. In the house of Mother Sachi, the Lord was always manifest. In the kirtan of Lord Nityananda, the dancing of Lord Nityananda, he was manifest. In the kirtans at Sri Vasangam, he was manifest. And at the house of Raghava Pandit, he was manifest. Remember, Raghava's special cook. Him and his wife, they would create little bags and they would be taken to Jagannath Puri each year for Lord Chaitanya. So it's interesting that Sri Govinda Ghosh, you know, whenever he was singing, Lord Nityananda was dancing. So he had Nityananda Nartani. Then he was present in the Shriva Sangam, so Shriva's Kirtani. And he was also present at Raghava's Pandit's house. So that's amazing. He was one of those intimate devotees who was always experiencing the presence of Lord Chaitanya, even when he wasn't actually physically there, so to speak. But his presence was there, because he can be in many places at once. So these are some of the glories of Sri Govinda Ghosh. Haribol. So thank you all for your time, and I've left some time for comments and questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class.
Thank you.
I just want to say, while I've been at the manor, it's such an inspiration seeing all the speakers just have this knowledge they can just tap into. So it's like really inspiring. These shlokas, just pick them out. And I had a question of, I've heard out of Krishna Conscious as well, that it's almost like this, how times used to be. And I always think of, like, it almost feels like an avalanche, kind of just like, of standards and everything, of just like slipping and things. And do you reckon there'll be a time of bringing it back, or do we keep just letting things...
Okay, interesting question. It's a combination of two things. Some things go down, other things have gone right up. You know, I always remember Kandari Prabhu, when it was the 40th, there was some anniversary of the dairy installation. Anyway, it was about 5 years ago. He came in a class and he said, you know, the current time is just the best this one's ever been. And I was thinking, really surprised, because no one ever says that. People like to talk down the present and glorify the past, reminisce. But if you were in the past, there was problems then as well. I don't know what will happen. I really don't know. It's kind of like one person, it was actually a former temple president at Bhaktivedanta Manor, he had the phrase, storming, norming, and performing. So he said the first phase of ISKCON was like storming. Everything was just like, let's go, let's get out there, let's do everything. The grounds were a mess. The bills weren't paid, but everyone was out having bliss, doing kirtan in the street, distributing the books. That was storming. The next one was norming, as in getting a system that's going to last, getting some systems that work. And then once you've established that, performing, the society can come up to a higher level. So there's many ways in which we've actually normed and performed, which we didn't have before. But personally speaking, the most blissful, I think, is the storming phase. And as far as I'm concerned, it's still an emergency. You know, we're in a difficult world. Most people don't know about Krishna. They know very little. They've heard the name. Therefore, I think if you want to just be part of the team that's going out storming, then you'll get the higher taste. And if a pocket of people can do that, then we can go back to reviving what we had in the past. And it's already happening. There's ashram, Atlanta ashram. Now, I went to the Yuga Dharma ashram about 5 years ago in New York. Now, it's since split into two. During COVID, many of the devotees went to Atlanta and they ended up staying there because the book distribution was really good. But that was a lovely ashram. I was there and I felt like this is how I love it. I love ISKCON like that. And it was really a kick up the backside for me. I came to a higher platform. I was getting up every day from Mangal Arati. We were going out doing 6 hours in the subway, chanting Hare Krishna, all the book distributors around us. And that's really blissful when you're there and we're doing the kirtan, you're watching people selling the books, and it's just a wonderful, blissful experience. And when you do it day after day, you come to a higher platform. And the brahmacharis there were so enthusiastic. And it's like that, we can have that anywhere if you just follow the process. And many of them are actually followers of Bhakti Vikas Swami. And so I give credit to him that he's got some really fired up disciples. The top book distributor in the world is one of them. I've forgotten his name. Remember his name? Mahotsav, yeah. Mahotsav was an amazing devotee. He was distributing, I don't know what his record was. He was just distributing sets of Bhagavatams, like, I don't know, 50 in one day or something. It was just amazing what he can do. But he's also a real pundit as well. And he was in the classes in the morning. He was just so into the classes, and he knew so many slokas. But he's living that life, and I'm looking at him thinking, you know, that's what I wish I was, you know. Someone who's really enjoying, you know, we talk about the Goswamis, they're in this Kinchana, they have nothing, but then they have Krishna Prem, so they're very wealthy. So these brahmacharis, they had nothing, but they were so happy that they had the greatest wealth. And so the point is, it can be done. It's just, it's not normal nowadays. It's unusual. So it can be done, and it is happening.
Yeah, because I remember Phil Gaurapani when we watched the video of Michael Cassidy. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's Hare Krishna that was. And I'd love to see that again. So
it's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can do it today. We have Bedford Harinam. Yes.
Bhagavad Gita, it says Samatvam Yoga Uchate. The balanced. Yeah. So, well, I know Mahamaya is there, yeah, and it's attractive, mm-hmm, but we are content with what we have, like it says the Samatvam Yoga Uchate, the balance. So we should be satisfied with whatever, you know, we have.
Yeah. Back to Rinpoche Thakur says this process is Shreyas and Priyas. Priyas means short-term happiness. Shreyas means long-term benefit. And he's, back to Rinpoche Thakur says, our process is both. So we may find aspects of the process difficult, but if you compare with what, say, impersonalists have to go through, where they follow chastity and they sleep on the ground, they're just renunciates on a higher level. It's really, really hard, the renunciation they do. We have it quite easy. But it's good to have that balance. So we have the prasadam. It's prasadam time now. Prasadam is that way we can regulatedly just satisfy ourselves in a way that's spiritual, and we don't have to torture ourselves to the point where we can't follow the process, you see. So it's really nice. In the old days, it was like the Sunday feast. And it was like throughout the week, it was really plain food. But imagine if you eat simply throughout the week, not only is it healthy, but imagine what the Sunday feast is like after that. You know, it's like, wow. Suddenly it's just everything at once. Adi Guru Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just on that point, the thing was, in the early days, they had a lot of poverty and they struggled, but the prasadam was always cooked in ghee. Mm. So it was always, Prabhupada said, prasadam should be sumptuous every day,
yeah,
and opulent on Sundays. And the funny thing is, the way they'd attracted devotees to move around their temples, or that they would cook really far out prasad, then everyone would leave one temple and go to that temple. And,
thank you.
But I don't think you can say that the prasadam was plain and austere in the early days. I think it's more austere now because we're not using ghee.
I think it's actually, thank you, it's a bit of both. There was times when the bills weren't getting paid and they were just eating potatoes and cabbage, but anyway.
Thank you, I have one question, yeah, but before I say so, I think your class today was phenomenal.
Thank you.
It was so beautiful.
Hey.
only yesterday I was listening to your spiritual masters debating, okay, about the existence of God, and I was thinking that the second generation and the third generation, they're such good representatives of Srila Prabhupada's followers. And Prabhupada would be so proud, I think, to know the level of which people have grasped his books, his teachings, and it's so inspirational to sit and hear you. So I really want to thank you. It was so wonderful. So I have a very small question. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Lord Chaitanya and Sarabhauma and Paramananda Bharati, they were having a jolly argument. And previous to that, the speakers discussed about Govinda and Ishwarapuri. And the whole chapter 10 is a very jolly display of love and affection between Gauranga Mahaprabhu and seniors and juniors. So when you think of this, I would like to ask you to reflect upon that and talk a little bit about the inner personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he deals with his devotees in such a loving way despite being God. So please, can you share your thoughts on this?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Sadavo Hridayam Mahyam Sadunam Hridayam Tvaham. Was it Madanyat Te Na Jananti Naham Te Byo Managapi? So the devotees, they are living within the heart of the Lord, and the Lord's heart is the devotees. So from the Lord's perspective, it's like he just loves his devotees. Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, he's the devotee of his devotee. So these loving exchanges, I'll say a few things what I think. Everyone is on the same platform. Everyone is intelligent. They're very conscious. Little small gestures have meaning and they pick up on them. We see the example of he looks at someone's blanket and it's a message and they get the message. There's a lot being said just by little gestures and small things. So it's a very conscious, the Sangha is very conscious. Prabhupada said, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. So there's not that kind of ignorance. Sometimes we need to be told things very directly to get them. So they're elevated personalities, they're all tasting rasa, and there's some interaction going on. And, you know, I don't even pick up on half of it. I mean, I remember when I was going on, I mentioned this story going out in Sankirtan with this Rupa Raghunath. And it was funny that I got a bit of beginner's luck. There was some little pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I just kind of read it, it was little, and I just kind of got it, it just kind of clicked. I don't even remember what it is looking back on it. But a lot of the time when I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I don't actually pick up on a lot of what's going on there, because I'm not really in the bhav. But my feeling is, it's as I've said, it's very loving, it's everyone's putting other people first. It's what happens when, if each individual person thinks, I'm the lowest person here, everyone's greater than me, and they all interact, it's kind of, you get this kind of escalating ecstasy where it's kind of like, so I mean, I was like, how dare you say anything glorification of my class? Because let's be honest here, you know, you can like pick up pages of scripture and you just kind of recite slokas from memory, and I don't do that, so, but you're just being nice to me, you know. But it's a nice exchange because you're kind of be nice to me and I'm nice to you, kind of. So it's like that. It's not like materialism. It's the opposite of materialism, where everyone's trying to be first. But I want to hear what you have to say, because you asked that question, so you must have an answer. It was an interesting question. I just want to hear your insights on it.
No, honestly, I just get amazed that in this world there are so many people. In fact, the latest survey shows that there is 85% of people in the entire population who subscribe to the concept of God. 85%. That's a huge number. Yeah, that's about 6 billion people who subscribe to our faith.
In the world. Okay.
And I was just thinking that in our philosophy, it's so beautiful how God is not just a personality of awe and reverence, but is a personality with whom we have a direct and a reciprocal relationship with. And when I hear you speak from Chaitanya Charitamrit, it gives us so much more encouragement, because it's that similar relationship that we can have with each other. And I think that's the true advancement of ISKCON today.
Thank you.
Where devotees are affectionate and they're very loving and they have genuine compassion and care, and there's less impersonalism in our exchanges to each other.
Thank you.
So your classes, I absolutely love, you know, and I absolutely love you as well for who you are. And when you were speaking, I was just thinking that I'm so fortunate to be part of your Sangha and the Sangha of devotees in ISKCON, because it really is rare when you compare to the number of people that believe in God and number of people that understand the intent and the heart of God. But I would like to request if Adiguru and other devotees please add something.
Adiguru is a wonderful dancer, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I think Radharaman Prabhu is very, he's...
He gives all respect to others, I know.
No, he's correct in glorifying your class because it was a really top quality class and reminded us of the... that we have to do penance to get spiritual life, you know, to get the real thing we have to renounce. I mean, there's a lot of issues we could have talked about preaching and opulence and the use of opulence, yukta vairagya, yeah. Because if you go to Mathura train station on any given day, the whole place is littered with sadhus who have nothing and they live day to day. But, you know, and they're traveling all over India constantly, whatever they're doing, but they're not preaching Krishna consciousness, nor do they manifest cleanliness or, you know, someone's going to... Anyway, yes. That's a whole other topic. I'm not going to say. All I wanted to say was two things. One, Radharaman said, Prabhu, that a lot of Prabhupada disciples, they say that our generation, we know more than what they did because they weren't studying so much. They didn't have all the books that we have. The
books were coming out.
The whole Bhagavatam wasn't even out, etc. So that's one good aspect, positive aspect. And the other thing I was going to say was, I just was in India, I was with an Australian devotee, an old Australian devotee, and he said that Rupa Raghunath is still going all over Australia distributing books.
Amazing.
And that everyone in Australia knows him. And, I mean, it's just a tiny country, 27 million people all around the coast.
They all know him.
They all know him.
It's fantastic.
Hari Bol.
He was so wonderful. I'll just finish on one little point about Rupa Raghunath. He was really funny. The temple president at the time had a different philosophy. His philosophy was sell stickers, make lots of money, and we'll use the money for preaching. And so he hated the Christmas marathon, as it was called, because he was told, no books, you're going out and doing stickers. And he was really good at stickers as well. So what he used to do, about a month before the marathon, he'd like go out and do extra books, keep a bit of money aside, and then during the marathon he'd distribute books and then take that money and hand in a bigger score, and then he got to distribute books during the marathon because he found it really dry doing stickers all the time. Anyway, it's fun and games. Anyway, it's Bedford Harinam today, if anyone's interested. It's a lovely town. Cambridge next Saturday. We're doing some big towns. We've got a new initiative. Adiguru Prabhu's got an idea and we're all going along with it, so... We want some nice big towns. We all go in the minibus, 17-seater. So stay in touch. If you feel like going on Harinam, it's a really blissful experience. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.